I think it's high time that Christians need to realize that we can't be silent. We can't look the other way. We can't keep our message boxed up within the four walls of our churches and worship spaces.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. As we enter the Advent season in preparation for Christmas, we often are confronted with conflicting and confusing information about the legalities of religious expression during the holidays, even to the point, it would seem, that some question whether or not it's even permissible to wish others a Merry Christmas in certain public places. Our guest has been on the front lines of this religious liberty debate for the last several years, and we are excited to talk with him today about that. Thomas Brekka is president and chief counsel of the Thomas More Society. A former Army captain, Tom has spent the last 20 years leading this national nonprofit public interest law firm, which is dedicated to restoring respect for life, religious liberty, and family values. In recent years, the Thomas More Society has teamed up with the American Nativity Scene Committee to provide large nativity scenes at no cost for public display on public property in a growing number of states. They also provide pro bono legal work to defend the legality of these displays when necessary. Tom Brekka, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, John. I'm thrilled to be with you.
Tom, as we begin our discussion, tell our listeners, if you would, about the American Nativity Scene Project and what it's all about.
Well, John, we're blessed to have a very, very generous benefactor who has agreed, and my gosh, I think it's going on 8 or 9 years, if not 10 years, to provide free nativity scenes for folks who are willing to take the lead and the responsibility to request a permit to put them up in public spaces which qualify under the law, and this is the key to it, as traditional or designated public forums. And free speech zones is the shorthand way to describe it. And the key idea here is that putting up a nativity scene is another form of free speech. Government cannot dictate what can and cannot be said in a free speech zone, in what we call a public forum. And if it's privately sponsored, privately funded, it's the same equivalent as if someone set up their soapbox and preached their politics or their moral advocacy. Putting up a nativity scene is another form of speech. This is the key. So it's not government doing it. We don't want government to sponsor it. We don't want government to take care of the nativity figures in the off season. It's our private clients put up the nativity, take care of it, secure it, and take it down. We do ask that people get a carpenter, and my gosh, there are all kinds of church-affiliated folks that carpenters who are delighted and honored to build a stable in which these figures can be displayed. And the ACLU actually has said this is, they agree with us, it's free speech. We've had it in the state house, the state capitol in Springfield, Illinois, for the last, 9 or 10 years. We have one down in Texas. The ACLU said that was permissible. We've had a couple of fights around the country, but we're trying to put them in as many state capitals and other public venues as possible. And it's a great way to celebrate what is essentially, and I'm sure your listeners agree with me, a religious celebration.
No doubt. Well, Tom, talk about the legal side of this. I know you've touched on it, but are there some specific legal parameters or do's and don'ts, if you will, for the display of nativity scenes in public places or public forums?
Well, yes, John. The key is to establish a baseline that, in fact, as is the case in most state capitol buildings or on the steps, that there have been rallies, political rallies. And, in other words, if the labor union wants to go in there and the teachers union wants to demonstrate against what they deem unfair, and this is permitted, well, that gives us a foothold, because that shows that there is permissible free speech going on in that venue, and that makes it what we call a designated public forum. And once you establish that baseline, then it's discrimination. It's wrong. It's what we call viewpoint bias, to say that, well, you can have a labor union advocating for public policy, but you can't have Christians advocating for people to pay their respects to the birth of Christ as celebrated, 2,000 years ago and now in our own day. Free speech can't be governed as to the content of what is spoken. They can put reasonable restraints on the time or the place or the manner of the free speech. You know, you can't have the Christians and the Satanists in the same place at the same time. No, but we want to have our nativity scene there, and we want to have a church choir come in. Could be just a few hours in one of the beautiful days before the Christmas day itself, or it could be for a week or 2 weeks, and it works. That this legal theory, as I say, has been approved by ACLU representatives. They agree with us.
Well, Tom, what range of responses have you received in the states where you have placed nativity scenes, particularly when it comes to governmental entities and elected officials?
Well, John, we get a lot of strange responses because there is this misconception that somehow religion ought to be expunged from the public sphere, that it ought to be kept within the four walls of churches. And this is a fiction, a falsehood against which we inveigh by deeds as well as words. I mean, the whole point of the Christian message is one that ought to be proclaimed loud and clear. And I think it's high time that people, Christians, need to realize that we can't be silent. We can't look the other way. We can't go off to, keep our message boxed up within the four walls of our churches and worship spaces. It's time that we went out in the public square and proclaimed the message of the Christ child. Certainly society needs it, and I think we should get active and proclaim it.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Now, Tom, there always seems to be confusion about what is legal in public schools at this time of year as well. In fact, some people think that schools essentially have to be sanitized of anything relating to faith or religion. Give us a brief primer, if you will, on what is and is not allowed in public schools when it comes to celebrations of Christmas and the like.
Well, John, you hit a sore spot there. We also represent, we're honored to represent the Students for Life of America. And, we've got all kinds of cases around the country where there is an LGBT student club, and the Christians come along, or the pro-life kids, and they want to start a pro-life club. And, oh, my heavens, the school administrators, oh, no, that's religious. You can't do that. Well, guess what? The U.S. Supreme Court has said, going back decades, that First Amendment rights do not stop at the schoolhouse door. So here, too, you cannot discriminate as to the content of free speech on the part of students. And we've had very good luck in getting administrators to back down just from our writing letters. But a couple of cases, one in Las Vegas, one recently in Allentown, Pennsylvania, where the folks would not agree, and so we had to go to court. And I want to tell you that once we filed that lawsuit and filed our legal papers, in both those cases, the administrators also backed off. And I think that's the key to it. If the kids want to put up a Christmas display, as the Students for Life put up pro-life displays, they should have that right. It's not an establishment of religion by the school district. It's private speech by students, free speech. And this is something that's private, not public, privately funded. The parents can back up their kids and provide whatever finances are necessary to show. And what a message the Christ child sends. I mean, it's not just a religious message. It has secular significance. It's showing a family. It's showing a father that stood by his wife Mary in a what really might have been called a crisis pregnancy back
no
then,
doubt.
You know,
yes.
And then here the secular authorities come with bearing their gifts, recognizing the humility of the setting is another message. I mean, it's something that really I think our society needs, and we shouldn't hold back from having our kids put up these displays, and we should put them up ourselves and be proud of it.
Well, I think what you touched on is so important for parents and students across our state and across the nation to recognize is that quite often administrators may act wrongly out of a complete misunderstanding of the law, but when that law is brought to them, when it's explained to them and they're presented with the truth of what students can do legally, they often back down and back down quite quickly. So it's important that parents not let the school administrators, teachers, principals, et cetera, kind of railroad their children, but that they take a stand and go through, as we suggest, the proper channels, the chain of command, go to the teacher, the school administrator, the principal, et cetera, and if ultimately necessary, pursue legal action to stand up for those religious liberty rights. But quite often, as you have said, the schools will back down quite quickly when they understand that they are just wrong in their actions.
Well, that's right, John. But it shouldn't be necessary to be on the firing line. This is something that is very American. It's called free speech.
Exactly.
Part of our constitutional foundation on which this country was started. And the key, it's not government speech. If it's government speech, nope, it can't be religious. But if it's private speech, more power to you. It's free speech, free exercise of religion, two parts of the First Amendment, and it's certainly not only legal, it's our God-given right.
Now, Tom, what kind of growth and interest have you witnessed with respect to the American Nativity Scene Project? And is this project, from your perspective, getting easier every year, or is it becoming more challenging?
Well, the more precedents we line up, John, the better off we are. I mean, we're in Texas, we're in California. I mean, God, if they allow it in Sacramento, it must certainly be permissible elsewhere. We're in Illinois. We're about 13, 14, or 15 states. We Georgia and Atlanta. Frankly, it's just the only limit so far has been our time, and can't be everywhere. But the more we can promote this, other people can take up the cause as well. It's not something that we own, but we'd be happy to do whatever we can as time and resources permit to help folks. I think ultimately we'll aim for all 50 state capitals, and I hope every public venue in the United States. We put one up in Ferguson, Missouri, after all the trouble they had there, and it goes from church to church in Ferguson, so the Christian message is at least proclaimed there. And it's a healing message for this wonderful season of ours, and we hope it'll be everywhere.
Well, that's great. And Tom, that leads into my last question before we conclude our conversation. But what can our listeners do, and where can they go to learn more about the American Nativity Scene Project and all the good work of the Thomas More Society?
Well, they can contact us. We're the lawyers, thomasmoresociety.org. Or American Nativity Scene, Ed O'Malley up here, Jim Finnegan, they've our clients. Time is running out, I guess, but I think they can still manufacture and ship a nativity, certainly down to North Carolina. And, how many shopping days till Christmas? I thought, we can shop for the nativity scene and enough time for somebody to put together a stable. And let's hope we can do as much of this as we can, because it's a message that is the greatest story ever told. And that was the beginning, the nativity. And what best message to put out at this time of year?
And with that, Thomas Breck, I want to thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters and for your great work defending religious freedom across America.
Thanks very much. It was a joy to be with you and to proclaim this message again on your station.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.